So when Daniel and I first got married, we saw this pillow that we still wish that we had bought as a total joke. It was called the Worry Pillow. And when you squeezed it, it would say things like, oh, the bills. We still look at each other when somebody's complaining and we go and we'll make the hand motion of squeezing the pillow and we'll go, oh, the bills. So, but what I want to know is if someone were to make a worry pillow for your worries, what kind of things would it say every time it got squeezed?
Okay, first of all, it would say that one. Oh, the bills! It would be, have a little more of a southern accent, but besides that, it'd be the same. But mine would probably be, where are my boys going to land? Because my boys aren't boys, they're men. And I'm just watching their life unfold. And it's miraculous, but also like, oh, where's this going to end, you know? And then also, what if I crash and burn on my latest project? And so what, as I made this list, though, I was like, oh, wow. Mine are like really close to home, which might be indicative of selfishness and other things also. How about yours?
Mine aren't just close to home. Mine are all in my head. That's how bad it is. So, like, this is what it would sound like each time you squeezed it. Someone is mad at you for something you did, but you don't remember, and they're not going to tell you, so you have to figure it out all by yourself. Yeah, that's what my worry pillow would sound like.
I am dying. That is hilarious. Wow, I might have that series also. I need to just reprogram my pillow.
So it's a really good thing that we got to listen to Maria talk about fear and anxiety and worry and help us along here.
Yes, so good. I mean, oh, wow.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing what we learned from our interview with Maria Furlow, author of Breaking the Fear Cycle.
All right. Well, one of the things that Maria talked about that I know really resonated with you was this contrast between faith-filled prayers and fear-filled pleas. And I know that prayer is your word for 2018. So fill us in. Bring us up to speed. Talk about how this spoke to you.
You know, I think I've mentioned that it's been an interesting year because I really thought that God was going to have me diving into these deep theological places with him. But he's actually, it's just been delightful. He is so delightful because I was scared of the word prayer, but he has been giving me these simple things to implement in my life. So one of the books that I've been reading is Praying for Your Adult Children. And maybe we can provide the link because I think it is just fantastic. And so here's one simple thing from that book that the author suggested, that we pray one scripture for our adult children per year. So we prayerfully take a look at scripture, pay attention to what God is saying. Mine both popped up in devotions, for example, and I was just trying to pay attention. So what do you want me to pray for Nolan, Lord? What do you want me to pray for Anson, Lord? And both of mine came from Philippians 1. They were from different sources, but both are in that passage. And so I've written those scriptures down on a card, and then God kind of helped me break them into 5 days. And so there's one specific thing from that passage each day that I pray for. It's kind of easy peasy. I just pull out the card. I look at what day it is. I look at where I am and I pray that prayer. And so that has helped me because my boys' future is uncertain right now. They're in transition as they finish school. And so that kind of evokes some fear in me. But praying scripture is building my faith. And her point was, is that then we get to see over a period of time how God answers those prayers, which builds our faith even more. So I'm super excited about that. How about you?
I love it. Well, I'm just thinking that would work for anything we're worried about. You know, yes. For you specifically right now, it's your boys, but it could be work, it could be health, it could be any other relationship, but to just ask that God guide us to a scripture. And I love how you broke it up into 5 days. I would never have thought of doing that. I think that's fabulous. I love that.
Another simple tool that God has put into my path via Amy Hale, H-A-L-E, and you can follow her on Instagram, is that she talks a lot about prayer and Bible study. And she just had this really simple tool one day that a friend of mine shared with me that's kind of a pre-prayer journal, and it's 5 points. And so I just put it in a Word doc so I can run it off of my printer when I run out. Uh-huh. And so every day I start with these pre-prayer thoughts that I write and journal some things down before I even really dive into my quiet time with God. Well, one of these is, today I am anxious about. And her thought was, hey, we should get our anxieties right out there in front of God first. Let's deal with that first. And then so we can really immerse ourselves in his presence. And it's funny because there's some days that I'm like, I leave it blank and I'm like, am I anxious about anything today? Not so much. But today, for example, there might have been 5 paragraphs. I mean, but it's so helpful. It's prayer, of course. It's not really pre-prayer, but it kind of helps me get that all out. So then I can say, okay, God, I'm handing this to you. Now let's spend some good time together. It's been awesome.
I love that, though, because when it comes to writing, we talk about pre-writing. We talk about brainstorming. We talk about taking notes, about doing research, about observing before we sit down to write a blog post or write a chapter. And I'm also thinking of athletes who will warm up. They'll do stretching, they'll do warm-up exercises before they either, you know, hit the track or hit the weights or whatever. And I guess I just thought that prayer is prayer. You just do it or you don't do it. And what you're saying is you're learning that there's different ways and there's almost a warm-up and but none of these are threatening. They're all very, very doable. Something a little more uncomfortable that Maria talked about was she talked about her pattern of running away from pain. And then she said that God leads us through the fire and we learn from him. She made the comment that she likes post-fire Maria better than pre-fire Maria. And she's grateful to the Holy Spirit for the transformation in her life. So I was wondering, first of all, what patterns of running away the Holy Spirit has revealed in your life?
This is something God's been doing that within the past year or so, and it has to do with prayer. I have made no secret that I have trouble with sleeping at night. I'm kind of an insomniac at certain times of the month. Anyway, TMI. So what I used to do is I would read myself back to sleep. But recently, God has been showing me that reading in this circumstance is a way of running away from him, because a lot of times it's connected to worry and anxiety in my life. That's why I'm awake in the middle of the night. And so he was saying, you're using reading as numbing and as running away from me. And instead of reading, I want you to pray. So, like, face the anxiety head on. Don't turn away from it by reading something and then pray about it. And so I've thought of reading as running and praying as staying. Like, I need to stay in the anxiety for a few minutes with God so that I can go back to sleep rather than running away from it.
So I'm watching your mouth moving and I'm just not listening to you. you can just stop talking right now, Amy Carroll. You have said that reading is not always good. How could you go there?
Even I have a hard time forming those words. Can I say that? And I want to say to everybody who's listening, look, that's not always the case. And it hasn't always been the case in my life, but it became the case.
The only reason I want to tell you to stop talking is because I don't want to hear it, because it's so convicting. Because you and I both can intellectualize. We can go straight to our heads. And what's the reading? At least for me, the reading is looking for solutions. I'm going to read a book that's going to solve the problem, or I'm going to Google rather than go to God. So, you know, reading is just another way that we bypass God and try to solve our own problems. So, okay, so I identify with that pattern of running. And then the other thing that I'm becoming increasingly aware of is productivity. I love to be productive and have something to show for my time. And so I can run from healthy connections and opportunities or painful situations that I really ought to be dealing with. And I feel like I can justify it if I go do something and go, ta-da, here's the thing. Look what I did. And God isn't fooled by look what I did. Here's another thing. Because if he's asked me to connect with somebody, if he's asked me to celebrate, or if he's asked me to sit with the anxiety and trust him, he's not looking for me to show up with some new thing I just did. So, ooh, yeah.
Powerful.
Reading and productivity can be forms of running away. Ooh, light and fluffy with Amy and Sherry.
Oh, wow. But, you know, that is, when you say that out loud, reading and productivity, the problem with that for us reforming perfectionists is that it looks like something good on the surface.
Oh, yeah.
So we can fool other people and we can fool ourselves.
Yep.
For a good long time with
yep.
that. So hopefully none of you who are listening know what we're talking about at all. We hope this doesn't hurt you to hear as much as it hurts us to say.
Yeah, we're both smiling, but it's the strange smile of ouch. Ouch.
Yes, it's funny. They're kind of, we should post pictures of those like
pain,
grimaces.
There we go. That's the right word, grimaces. All right, well, let's do something a little more positive. And that is there a post-fire version of Amy that you like better than the pre-fire version of yourself?
Well, the most recent fire in my life, it's a blessing, but it was also a fire. So just to put that in context, because Maria's was such a devastating loss. So this is not in that realm at all. But the hardest fire for me in the last 5 years was writing the book. And, you know,
can we be clear which book you're talking about?
Oh, Breaking Up with Perfect. Because it's amazing how no matter what if you're trying to communicate things to people, truths that you've lived out, whatever that looks like for you, teaching Sunday school or, you know, talking with your neighbor over the fence. Mm. It's amazing how that's the area that the heat gets turned up again, you know?
So true.
And so since I was talking about my own perfectionism, oh my goodness, it was wave after wave after wave of things coming against me to say, have you really dealt with this? Mm. Have you really dealt with this? And the answer was no. I had not fully dealt with that. But you know, the thing about the heat to being turned up, just like the picture that we all know, is the dross gets it lifts to the top. Mm. And so my post-fire experience, the heat being turned up, the dross being raised to the top, is I am more refined than before. Here's how it played out the other day at my house. I said to Barry, I need some accolades. He rolled his eyes like, oh boy, what's coming
Kate
here?
Kate Barry, eye rolling does not count as an accolade. Sorry, dude.
No, it did not. And he's like, okay, I'll play. About what, you know? And so one of the things that I've shared about the last little month or so is that we're having renovations done on our house.
Yes.
Now, any of you who have ever had renovations know that there's no perfection. In renovations, lots of problems, very little perfection.
Now, you've talked about a fine layer of red dust. That doesn't sound like perfection. You have a lot of white in your house.
Yes.
So red dust and white don't go together.
Oh, goodness. It's just, I could talk for hours. But we've had these great crews, but there's always bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. And my house has been torn up.
Oh, like your nest.
My nest has been... been a wreck for 2 months. But you know what? I realized God has had me in process and there has been growth.
Aww.
This is the good news. I haven't freaked out. I don't think I've freaked out once. Mm-hmm. That is unbelievable. So the post-fire is better than before. Not perfect.
Yeah. But you podcasted but several times from your son's closet perfectly calmly.
In the dark last time. Nobody could see me, but you know.
I love it.
So how about you, post-fire? What does this look like?
Probably the biggest fire for me in the last 5 years was discovering that Anne-Marie had gone from having no tattoos to full sleeve tattoos. Which I have blogged about in a series called How to Love Your Daughter When You Hate Her Tattoos. And you know what God has done in my heart over the years? I can think back to how shocked and horrified I was, and how the only thing I wanted was for them to go away so I didn't have to deal with it, to me feeling like it's very normal. I used to think that success was I wouldn't see them anymore, and no, that's not success. Success is that I see them and I see her and I accept and love all of her and they're no longer an issue. Like they don't, they aren't an obstacle between us anymore. And because of that, I am so much more aware of my prejudices. I mean, one of the major lessons God taught me is that perfectionism produces prejudice. And I become much more aware of how judgmental I am about all sorts of things when I give people a quick glance. You know, why do they look like that? Why did they dress that way? Why don't they do this instead? And, you know, it's a work in progress. You know, I didn't realize. In fact, it's a little worse to realize how judgmental I am. But I know, and this is why I like post-fire Sherry better than pre-fire Sherry, is at least I'm aware of it. And so that as those thoughts are rising to the surface, I can hand them over to God and say, okay, work with me on this. You know, teach me through this. You know, walk me through this. Why are these thoughts even coming to my mind? And I can surrender them. Just as a small practical example, I'm now very comfortable starting conversations with somebody who has a tattoo, which I had never once done in my life before Anne-Marie got her tattoos. Now, I'm not about to go get my own tattoo. Let's just be really clear on that. But God has helped me let go of a lot of fears and beliefs that were inaccurate and a lot of habits of mind and heart that were incredibly destructive, and continues to do that. And so I'm really, really grateful for that.
Well, one of the things that came out of my mouth recently that I've been repeating to myself is that I'm thankful for those types of pain because the pain points to the problem.
Oh, so good.
I think sometimes we just confuse the two. Like, we don't like the pain. We don't like whatever's causing the pain. But so often we need to be thankful for that because it's the pain that moves us forward to then address the problem and grow.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good and so true. There was a moment in our interview with Maria where you look up and look out and I throw my hands into the air because she had said something so profound. Here's what she said. She said, there's a difference between fear and pain, and I don't want to cause my own pain through fear. Life is going to throw pain at you that you cannot avoid, and I don't want to waste my joy-filled days making my own pain with my own fear in my own mind. Talk to me about why that spoke to you so much.
Well, I think that the whole life is going to throw pain at you that you cannot avoid. Hello. I mean, anybody that's older than five listening to this will agree with that. And I think so many times we amp that up because of our reaction to it. And the reaction so often is fear. You know, there's that adrenaline reaction to pain, but we have to figure out, well, what do we do with that? At that point, we're having that normal human adrenaline pumped reaction to that. I'm getting a chance to live this book thing again. And I've just decided I'm not doing it the same way again. I'm not going to write a book that has joy in the subtitle and live in misery. I'm just not going to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Now,
writing is always painful for me. You probably have something that's always painful for you, but we can decide, are we going to let that pain shift us into fear mode, which makes the pain more painful, or are we going to take that pain and do something with it?
A habit I come by honestly is a habit of worrying about all the possible things that could go wrong and then trying to contingency plan for them all. And then when they don't all happen, I then feel the satisfaction of having prevented them by being hypervigilant with my worry and my anxiety. Now, the problem with that line of reasoning is they didn't happen because they didn't happen, not because of all of my hypervigilance and worry and anxiety. But when we get caught up in that whole fear cycle and all of that adrenaline is rushing, we end up with these causes and effect relationships in our own head that are inaccurate. Mm. Those of us who are recovering people pleasers and reforming perfectionists, and also those of us who are HSP, highly sensitive people, because we're reflective people and we tend to think and reflect on things, we can get caught ruminating. And that rumination can go into an endless fear cycle that triggers the adrenaline and it goes around and around. So I think it is so important to recognize that the fear is natural, but sometimes we can feel pain when there hasn't been any injury at all. It's just what's happening in our own heads.
I think the fear is natural. That is such an important statement because, listen, we're all going to experience pain. We're all going to experience fear. So the first step is the same for everybody. What Maria was teaching us was how to do the second step and the steps beyond that in a better, more healthier way.
Well, at the very end of our interview with Maria, she asked the questions, how would life look different if we no longer held on to fears about failure? And how would life look different if we no longer held on to fears about relationships? And I thought those were two great questions. I'm going to let you start by answering the one on how you feel like your life would or is looking different without fears about relationships.
Okay, well, I had this delusional moment before we interviewed Maria where I was like, oh, well, I'm really glad we're doing this episode about fear, but that's not really my issue.
We're doing this episode for other people.
Oh, my gracious. Well, by the end, I might have identified a whole bunch of fears, but the big one was at the end when she talked about relationships. And how, you know, we should not be so hard on ourselves in relationships. This is my primary fear. I think that saying the wrong thing is going to implode a relationship, that doing the wrong thing, that not doing enough, all the things that we've talked about here, and just giving myself grace in that. And so one of the things I do, because I don't think fast on my feet, is I always replay conversations in my head. And then I parse every word. It's a fear thing. And, you know, truthfully, I've shared here that I had a period of about 5 years where I did implode about four relationships. So that has kind of been a reinforced fear that I actually have done some of this. And so I've realized I really need to let go of that fear, though, because that quenches friendships and relationships. I mean, that really puts a kibosh on openness and vulnerability and all the things that relationships thrive on, that I need to trust myself more. And I need to trust the other person more, that when I say the stupid thing, which I will, and so will you and everybody else, right? Is that that other person loves me enough to give me grace or to confront me and say, hey, that hurt my feelings. Can we talk about that?
So
is there
good.
Something that Maria said that was your thing?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about the fears about failure, and we haven't talked about this on the podcast yet, but about a month ago now, I actually called my own intervention because I have a bunch of new projects on my plate, and I believe God has brought them all there, but it means that I need to let go of some things. And so I called together, and this was actually, I was afraid to even ask people for help. You were one of them, and Kathy was one of them. There were a couple of others. And I realized, no, I'm going to go ahead and ask, and I'm going to trust them to either say yes or no. I'm going to trust them to be adults. I'm not going to make decisions for them. Because in the past, because of fear, I have made decisions for people. Isn't that generous of me, Amy? I make decisions for people. I know what's best for them, so I just go ahead and decide it for them. So I overcame that fear. And in the process of talking, and I basically said on the call, I said, I want you guys to tell me the things that you would wish you would tell me if I burn out. And so I had four women on the call who were very honest with me. But the thing that was so amazing is, and these are all writing projects that God has given me for the next year. When it came down to it, what I recognized is I was trying to keep too many things on my calendar, too many things to do, because writing didn't feel like enough. Like just writing for a year felt like failure. Like there's nothing to show for it. Like I said, I like to be productive and, you know, to have people say, so what are you doing these days, Sherry? Oh, just writing. You know, 6 months from now, what do you have to show for your life? Oh, just writing. It just felt terrible. But it was so beautiful that when we came to that place where I was able to realize, oh, I'm trying to keep all of these other things and not quit things I need to be quitting because of this fear that just writing is not enough and that it's actually a form of failure. Suddenly, all of you who know me were so affirming and saying, no, writing is enough. In fact, it is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you've been waiting your whole life to do. And it was so valuable to open up to that kind of input, but then to have that realization. And now on a daily basis, when I sit down and I've cleared my schedule and I'm doing what it is that you all have affirmed that God has called me to do, to be able to say, it may not look like much right now, but it's not failure. The reward of being vulnerable enough to say, I need you guys to speak into my life. There's something here I'm probably going. And here's the thing. If I hadn't have asked you guys, I would have failed. I would have fallen flat on my face because I would have tried to keep everything going. I would never have given myself permission to clear my plate of certain things and to schedule the time to do the writing that God has called me to do this year. Now, I'll admit there was a certain amount of control freak in there because I called my own intervention ahead of time.
No, that was wisdom, girl. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, when we do in October and November, when we do our holiday one, this needs to be a whole episode about that intervention.
Okay.
I learned so much from watching you.
Aww.
So valuable, incredibly, incredibly valuable. So we need to learn from you about how we could all stage our own.
I highly recommend it. The benefits have been amazing. So, all right, what is the scripture that you have chosen to go along with these episodes?
1 John 4:8, part A. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear.
Mm.
And so the bad rule, if I ignore fear, it will go away. This is how I have tried to deal with fear. If I just pretend like it's not there, maybe it'll slink away.
How's that been working for you, Amy Carroll?
Not so well. But the truth is, I think embedded in this is if I live loved, fear will go away.
Mm.
It's a choice between the two things. I mean, the scripture makes it so clear that we can live loved, and I think that includes God and others.
Mm.
And if I live loved, that is a place of security. It's a boundary that fear cannot penetrate.
Mm.
But if I try to ignore fear, there is no boundary. So it just attacks over and over again.
Well, and the grit in all of this to me is because I can get so caught up in that worry, anxiety, adrenaline cycle, and it feels so real. And, you know, we talk a lot about fight and flight, but I tend to be a freeze and fawn kind of gal. Like I either freeze up or I fawn, I make nice, you know, like I'm overly nice to people. Those are the ways that my fear comes out. And that one especially, which is just another way of saying people pleasing, that works really well on surface relationships. It works especially well in some churches. And so the grit for me is, should I not have said that?
That was so powerful. I think you should say it again, especially in some churches. Okay, go ahead.
But so for me, the grit is going to be some kind of discipline to say, no, I'm not going to go back into this cycle. I'm either going to find something, I'm going to pull from my peace jar. I'm going to go to scripture. And if I on my own cannot break out of this, I'm going to go seek help. I'm going to go see a counselor. I'm going to talk to a pastor, whatever it takes to not live going round and round in that fear cycle, believing that if I ignore it, it'll go away. Because the truth is, of course, if I ignore it, it just builds and gets worse. And then I feel helpless and hopeless. And that's no good.
Mm.
How about the grace?
Absolutely. Well, mine, I default back to the relational place where my fear kind of resides. And I need to accept safe spaces in relationships that people create for me. God certainly just models this. I mean, he is the author of the second chance, right?
Yes.
And the third chance and the fourth chance. And that feels so safe and so nurturing. And so I need to accept those when people create them for me, but I also need to create them from other people. I think this is one of, you know, we talk about vicious cycles, but I think cycles can go either way. And if I create safe spaces, spaces for my friends, for my family, for the people that I love. There's less fear on their part, and then they create safety for me, and there's less fear on my part, and it just builds and grows and flourishes in love. You know, that's the key.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com, episode 112.
There you'll be able to find this week's transcript, our Digging Deeper download, the Bible verse art, and our giveaway for Breaking the Fear Cycle.
Come join our Facebook group where we'll continue this discussion.
And make sure to join us next week when we'll be talking to Crystal Stein, author of Holy Hustle.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it. Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll, who is without words. Oh, wow. That was articulate.
Okay, I'll start over. Well, this is Sherry Gregory.